captain's log.
Han Solo. I'm captain of the Millennium Falcon.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation starship Enterprise.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
You're listening to Captain's Logs and Lightsabers, part of the Geek News Now podcast network.
Hey, welcome to episode 34 of Captain's Logs and Lightsabers. And yes, this is the real episode 34, not last episode, because, you know, I can't count, apparently. But this is the real episode 34, and this is the podcast on Geek News Now that discusses both Star Trek and Star Wars. And my name is Jonathan. I'm one of the hosts of the show. I wouldn't be able to do it, though, without my co-host, Chris. How's it going, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. We haven't had an episode since early January. We always have good intentions, and then unfortunately, life gets in the way.
Exactly. Basically, we've been bouncing back and forth for the last couple of weeks, and our schedules just couldn't line up.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just if something comes up for me, you know, Chris is able to record it. If I'm able to record, something comes up for Chris. So
exactly.
Yes. Anyway, but we're back. We're here. We got our second episode of 2024, and we're going to talk about the first half of The Bad Batch Season 3, which consists of 7 episodes as of today, which we're recording on March 17th, and this episode will be out later in the week. So yeah, we've had the first 7 episodes of the season, and it's right about the halfway point. So that's what we'll discuss today. But first, how did you geek this week? Chris, what's going on?
Well, I basically have been, how have you been geeking for the past month, essentially? So part of the reason why we haven't been able to coordinate our schedules, everybody, is because I took my private practice that I opened a few years ago for mental health, and I moved to my own office. So I'm no longer renting with anybody. I'm completely solo now. And with the move that's been going on for the last 5 weeks, it's been not only just getting the building and filling out all the paperwork, but it's also been buying a ton of new stuff. So a lot of the stuff that I've been trying to do is get as much geek stuff as possible. So obviously, as a big Star Trek fan, my office is very much Trek themed. So I brought all the old Star Trek decorations I had from the old office and set those up. But I also brought in a whole bunch of new stuff as well, including the Enterprise D model that was made by Playmates in 2023. Nice. Which is really cool because that actually has saucer separation, which is really neat.
And so, I'm guessing that the original one didn't, right?
The one from the 90s did not. That's right. Yeah, so this was a new feature to this one, so it makes it really cool. So I got that put in there. I just put up a painting that my wife's uncle painted for me with the Enterprise leaving Earth. So I put that up in my office today when my wife and I were stopped over. And let's see, I bought a ton of Star Wars stuff for the kids section. There was a Mandalorian book that I bought that's all illustrated, and it's got magnets of the characters so you can put in different scenes. I got a stuffed animal of Boba Fett that I put in there, and I got almost every version of Grogu stuffed toys that you could possibly imagine. My wife actually said to me, "No more Grogu's, please, no more." I'm like, "Please, just one more. Find a different one." And she was like, "No more." She was adamant. You know, so I definitely brought a lot of that in. Let's see. Found some old Star Trek VHS tapes from the 80s and 90s, and I put those up as decorations on my one of my bookshelves. And see, what else did I buy? Oh, man. That's pretty much about it in terms of the buying, but I bought all that Star Trek and Star Wars stuff, which was really cool. Also, this kind of goes away from my office, but went to Walmart yesterday while I was shopping for the office, and I found in their $7.50 bin the first season of Star Trek Lower Decks season is on DVD in the bins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, and I picked one up, and there were a couple left. So check your Walmarts if you want Star Trek Lower Decks season 1 on DVD, because they're in those bins now.
Nice. That's really cool that you can grab it for such a value. I mean, DVD is still such a popular format, even though we have 4K and 8K. God, you know, who knows when that's coming, but I'm sure it's sooner rather than later.
Oh, sure.
But yeah, DVD is still super popular. So yeah, that's awesome. And it's such a great show. It's you know, $750 is a great entry point for somebody to check it out because it's less than the cost of a month of Paramount Plus.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's really cool. But that's pretty much how I've been geeking for the last month. How about you?
Well, let's see. In the last month, I have really been playing a lot of a very specific video game franchise. I have been playing the series of games in the Final Fantasy VII Remake trilogy. So back in 2020, I got the game, it's the Final Fantasy VII Remake, which, like it sounds, is a remake of the original Final Fantasy VII game that came out for the PlayStation 1 back in 1997, I believe. And okay. It was, for a lot of people who had never played Final Fantasy before, it was the one that got people into the series, including myself. And fans, you know, have just been, it's been one of the best stories of any Final Fantasy game, the most well-received, most well-loved, and still talked about to this day. You don't really hear people talking about the stories in other Final Fantasy games anywhere near to the level that people do about Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, wow.
So they were teasing, you know, a remake. Basically, I think it was back in the PlayStation 3 era, they had originally teased like almost like a graphical showcase of what the power of the PlayStation 3 could do as far as graphic rendering. And then, you know, it never was actually meant to be a real game, but people latched onto it and wanted it to be made. And it eventually came out for the PlayStation 4 in 2020, which when they released the first game, when they released Final Fantasy VII Remake, everybody was shocked. And then it was only about the first third of the original game, that this whole game was actually one part of many.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had never finished it back in 2020. So I finally went back and finished the game, did all the side quests because I can't help myself. I have to complete everything. It's a sickness. I can't just move through the story of a game. I have to do all the side quests as soon as they pop up. So I finally finished the Final Fantasy VII Remake. I did the downloadable content, which was like a side mission that you could do, which was another like 4 or 5 hours of gameplay, which I stretched into more because of side quests. Because again, I can't resist. I finally started playing the second game of the trilogy today, which the second game of the trilogy is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. And it, you know, it benefits from, you know, upgrades in technology. It's on the PlayStation 5 now instead of the PlayStation 4. So it is a game that is on 2 Blu-ray discs. This thing is massive. And I just started today, and it kind of starts with a very, you know, very memorable sequence from the original game, and I'm really excited to get further into it. So that's how I've been geeking, is playing Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yes.
Well, all right. You know,
and then I guess what's going to be coming up for us in the next month is Steel City Con.
And I'm not sure if we'll be able to go this time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I know you'll probably still go, you know, as a fan, but yes. I just don't know if we'll be able to go to represent the show. Yeah, I don't know. This of all the recent Steel City Cons, this one appeals to me the least, honestly. So yeah. What do you think of the game that we're announcing? I know for you, there is a very specific celebrity guest that you are probably going to at least try to talk to, or you know, I don't know if you're going to plan to do a meet and greet or anything like that, but tell us about your very special guest that's coming to Steel City Con that you're excited for.
Oh, definitely. So I've been a big fan of the movie Short Circuit since I was a little kid, and I've always had a big crush on Ally Sheedy because of it, her playing Stephanie Speck in the movie. And I used to tell people she was my girlfriend in real life. You know, you're a little kid, you know, you just think stuff like that. So she was my first celebrity crush And so I've been begging Steel City Con for over, I'd say about 2 years on their Facebook page to get her to come down. Well, they're doing a Breakfast Club reunion at this show, and obviously she's going to be there. So I got to make sure that I get a photo op at least. I'll probably be too chicken to have a conversation with her, but maybe it'll turn out. I'm one of those people that like I panic because they're like the celebrity and I kind of shut down. So like, you know, I'd love to have a conversation with her, but I think I'd freeze up.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing about a photo op is, it's you don't get a whole lot of time to actually carry on a conversation where with, you know, if you're getting an autograph, it generally takes longer and you have a little bit more time to talk, especially, you know, if you're getting multiple things autographed, you have even more time. So, I guess the photo op is the one for the introvert in us all, right?
Yes, very much so. Definitely. But I can't wait. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing her. I'm a little nervous about the show this time, though. I mean, we almost lost Steel City Con because they were going to turn the Monroeville Convention Center into a Hobby Lobby. But that got pushed away finally, and they're going to keep it open. But the hotel across the street, they closed unexpectedly. And now the overflow that used to go over there is going to come back into the convention center. So we're going to be back to Saturdays where we're bottlenecked in the building.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that at all. No. And unfortunately they did say that they are going to have the August and December cons there as well.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to rely on what you tell me about this one in April to know whether it's worth me going in August.
Oh, yeah, I'll let you know, because, I mean, you remember how bad it got a year ago where they almost had to shut it down with the fire marshals because we were literally bottlenecked shoulder to shoulder. We couldn't move.
Yeah, that wasn't last December. It was the December before, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they finally moved part of it to the convention or to the hotel, it was like, finally, we got some room here. You know, but we'll see. We'll see. But I'm looking forward to seeing Ally Sheedy, and hopefully the show will be good.
Yep, hopefully. I mean, you know, they may end up having more like outdoor tents and stuff. You never know, you know, as far as, you know, like to line control and stuff, or they may even put celebrities out in tents. Who knows?
Exactly. I know that when I met Christopher Lloyd 2 years ago, they did that. They had us out in tents. It was cold out, too. So we all survived.
Well, hopefully April will be a little nicer. Hopefully.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so what do you say we talk a little Bad Batch, Chris?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Then get technical with me.
Logic is the beginning of wisdom, Valeris, not the end.
A Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense.
Okay, so we are going to talk about the first 7 episodes of The Bad Batch Season 3. So these are episodes that were available through March 13th of this year. So that's episodes 1 through 7. It's been an interesting way that they've kind of made the episodes available, because we got a 3-episode premiere the first day. Then we got 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks of single episodes. And then we got another episode or another duo of episodes drop just this past Wednesday, 13th. So it's an interesting way that they've distributed the episodes and kind of decided what goes or what comes out when. But let's kind of break it up, I guess, by the way that they made them available week to week. So we'll talk about the first 3 episodes, because they do kind of all, you know, connect together, of course. So the first episode was Confined. So following her capture by Dr. Hemlock, Omega adjusts to life at the Imperial Reach Search Facility by visiting her prisoner brother Crosshair and getting checkups from her mysterious and stoic clone sister, Dr. Emery Carr. Omega passes time by creating herself a Tuca doll, befriending an imprisoned Lurka hound that she names Batcher. And yeah, we can talk about Batcher in a little while. But you know, Batcher is my hero. So Omega is a little free to run to go around the facility, but you know, she is trying to escape and hopefully take Crosshair with her. So Episode 1, Confined. What were some of your favorite parts of the episode, Chris?
I really liked that they showed kind of the time jump from when she first got there. Was it like, and then she, what was it, like 5 weeks later, or five, was it 5 months maybe? I don't, they were, she was counting them off on the, with the lines.
Yeah.
I liked how we had that little jump and we got to see her kind of age a tiny little bit. Which was not, so it was nice to see that time jump. It was also interesting watching them, Nala Say taking all the different, or no, it was Dr. Carr taking all the blood samples, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then watching Nala Say starting to destroy them, and even, and Omega was watching it, but she didn't say anything, at least not until later on down the road, you know? So it was interesting to kind of see Wake start asking, what are they looking for? What are they trying to do here? And I also really enjoyed having Batcher be part of the group as well. I love how it showed the heart and the compassion of Omega's character. Mm-hmm. As she tried helping this wounded hound that really was mean and nasty to her, and how Batcher actually remembered that and actually came to love her and protect her, you know?
Yeah.
And Omega set her free, which was really, really awesome. See, I also love the fact that we're seeing a little bit of her. She's trying to reach out to Crosshair, but at the same time, as she's starting to get a little bit older and adjusted to being there, she's kind of ignoring him a little bit, just kind of walking by him.
Mm-hmm.
So just it was a really, I thought it was a pretty good way to start the season out. What did you think of the episode?
Yeah, I thought it was, this was definitely of the three, I think this is my least favorite, just because it was a lot of more moving, it was a lot more of a, moving pieces into place, kind of letting us get an idea of how Omega's day-to-day life goes. So, as we kind of see her go through her routine and make changes to that as she's trying to, put together a plan to escape. It's great that Nala Say has her back, and every time that Omega's blood gets taken, Nala Say makes sure to destroy it, to discard it, so to kind of buy her more time to escape. So, mm-hmm. And yes, of course, Batcher is my favorite new character of the show. She is such a good girl. She's the best. I love, just like my dog, there were treats for the hound, and then Omega had her own food, and of course the dog wants nothing to do with the treats.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. See, you've got the people food. That's what I want, and that's what you're going to give me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Batcher is just like most dogs, in our universe.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And I guarantee you that there's going to be hell to pay at Disney or in Lucasfilm if they kill that mutt off.
Oh, I don't think they ever will.
I don't think they will either.
I don't think. This is not Bambi's mom.
Well, let's hope not. That would be horrible.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we're going to have that ever happen again.
Thank goodness. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the kids would be upset enough, but can you imagine the adults uprising about that?
Right, right. I'll boycott Disney Plus for the rest of my life. No.
Yes. That's all I keep saying in the last few episodes was, you better not kill Batcher. You better not kill Batcher. I was like zoned on that the whole season so far.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't think they have I don't think they have any plans to kill Batcher.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Riots in the streets, man. Riots in the streets.
Exactly. City or something for Batcher's name,
So that was kind of our introduction to where, Omega and Crosshair have been. I think it was a little over 4 months, if we're going by standard Earth month, our months of around 30-day average. So it's about 4 months.
I have a Star Wars question for you.
Okay, go for it.
What is a click?
Okay, so I want to say it's an older term. It's not like. Let me see. I can edit this out because I have no idea. I'm Googling live here, okay? So bear with me. Give me a second here. I'm trying to figure out where everything is. There we go. Okay. So that was probably about 19 minutes before, right? I would think. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 19 minutes. All right. So I'm going to keep Googling and we're going to figure this out.
Yeah, because I keep hearing it in the show, and is it minutes? Is it days? What, rotations, I assume, is a day. That would make sense.
Okay, I found the answer, and I don't know why. And now I'm kicking myself for not knowing what it is. Click is just a word, you know, it's just a shorthand for a kilometer.
Oh, okay, okay.
So 5 clicks is 5 kilometers.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there you go. So that is the definition of a click.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
All right. Perfect. So, yeah, so why don't we move on to episode 2? We've kind of discussed where Omega and, you know, Crosshair are. So let's check in on the rest of the Bad Batch that, you know, we have still are around. So episode 2 is called Paths Unknown. So working as mercenaries, Hunter and Wrecker complete a dangerous job in exchange for what may be the location of Dr. Hemlock's lab. They follow the coordinates to a jungle planet where they find an abandoned Imperial base, a set of young clones surviving together in the wilderness, and a very, very large creature towards the end. So what did you think of episode 2, Paths Unknown, Chris?
I thought it was okay. It started out, I really enjoyed the beginning where they were in that with the crime family. And I loved, it was almost like a electronic version of the Sarlacc pit. Not the Sarlacc pit, but in Jabba's palace where, yeah, it was the Sarlacc, not going down to the Rancor pit is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
The Rancor pit. It was a technological version. And she just was able to dispatch whatever, you know, enemies that she had, which I thought that was really cool. But I love that we're seeing the Bad Batch trying to gather intelligence on where to find this base. They're just going from one job to another, trying to figure this all out. So that's been pretty cool. I enjoyed seeing the other two, the clone cadets. I'm glad that we're starting to see a little bit of the clones are starting to really wake up to what the Empire is all about and how disposable they really are. And so I think that's going to lead towards something more later on in this season, where we're going to finally see maybe a clone revolt or something's going to happen, I think, which will be kind of fun. This is kind of just kind of like some of the beginnings I thought in this episode. In terms of the big creature with the vines and everything, I just kind of thought it was interesting in its own way, having them kind of being caught by these vines. But again, it was the Star Wars trope of another humongous creature that was stopping them. You know what I mean? So I out of the three, I know episode 1 was the slowest for you, and I get why, because it was all a setup episode. But this one, I was kind of like, okay, when are we going to be done with this creature, you know, and then move on with the rest of the story. So this one was the slowest out of the three for me.
Yeah, see, I kind of disagree. I like how we, you know, this is kind of a, you know, we're just kind of jumping in as Hunter and Wrecker are, you know, in the middle of their search for Omega. You know, we don't see them, you know, we kind of see them like, you know, towards the end of when they locate her, but they have not stopped giving up. They have not, you know, given up searching for her ever since she was taken by Hemlock.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I would have no doubt. Imagine these guys just saying, you know what, Omega, good luck to you. We'll see you hopefully around sometime, you know. It just shows how much of a family that they truly are and how much they love this child, you know, and want her to be part of their lives. So it's, I mean, that's definitely the good part. For me, it was just the creature part that kind of bored me.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that it was a kind of a mutated or version of a Sarlacc, you know. I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know, how else do you destroy a Sarlacc other than, you know, dropping a shit ton of explosives or, a very large explosive sail barge into it?
Yes, that was a pretty cool sequence how they did that. That would, I got to admit, that was cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
that I think that alone is the reason why I like that episode over a little, just a little bit more over the first one.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. That makes sense.
So, all right. Anything else that you want to say about episode 2?
Not this one, no.
Okay. All right. So we'll move on to episode 3, which I think for both of us, this is probably our favorite. I think we agreed on that.
Yes, this was my favorite.
All right. So episode 3 is called Shadows of Tantus. Emperor Palpatine makes an unscheduled visit to Dr. Hemlock on Mount Tantus to see the progress being made on his Project Necromancer that he has them working on. Nala Se cannot, you know, prevent Emery, Dr. Emery, from moving forward with the test. So she kind of lets Omega know that it's time to go, that she has to start her escape, you know. So she's, you know, she tells Omega to make her escape. And of course, you know, the timing couldn't be worse, right?
Exactly. Yes.
So, you know, of all the days to make your escape, it happens to be the day where the big boss is, you know, visiting the office.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Be honest with you, I'm surprised that they managed to get away. I thought you would think there'd be tons of security going on around there, but it was, what, the Emperor's shuttle? Like, how many V-wings? Only a handful?
Yeah, the Emperor was traveling late that day, I guess.
He sure was. It wasn't like in Return of the Jedi when he showed up at the Death Star and the whole military was basically there flying in formation. You know?
Right.
But this was a great episode. I think just finally seeing how Project Necromancer kind of, this is the beginning of everything that ties into what we saw in Rise of Skywalker with Palpatine and his clone body that was falling apart. So it sounds like they made the project successful, but at the same time, it wasn't fully successful. You know, he was able to get himself a clone body, but it was flawed and it deteriorated. So no matter what, they were never able to basically develop the Kaminoan technology properly for him to be able to live on, is basically is how he wanted to be immortal, pretty much.
Right, which is why I think they're turning to try to find blood samples that have the high M count so they can approach it a different way.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. That was another part that I really loved about the episodes. They were mentioning the M count. Obviously, we know that's midichlorians, but, sure. You know, they haven't used the word yet, but it was really cool. And I was surprised that it was Omega who had she was the only one of the clones that had this high M count. And I'm curious, I'd like to know how she ended up getting this M count as high as
Yeah, I mean, she is a mutation. Yeah. It's, you know, she's much like the Bad Batch. She's a mutation. So I don't know what it was about her creation but yeah, it seems like she seems to be imbued with a little bit more of a, you know, of a higher midichlorian count, which doesn't necessarily mean that she can use the Force, but it mm-hmm. explains a lot about her and her particular skill sets.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, from the beginning, she's always seemed to be more mature and more knowledgeable about things than anybody her age. Well, I mean, she's technically older than the rest of the Bad Batch, which is ironic, but you know, but this just kind of set up a whole new arc for Omega. Now she's the most important thing that the Empire needs to make sure that this project works. So now we're going to have essentially the whole Empire is basically going to be looking for this girl, you know, whatever resources are required. I mean, even Palpatine said that to Dr. What's his name again? I can't remember his name. Hemlock.
Hemlock, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Hemlock. I mean, he said any resources you need are yours. You know, and you can see that went to Dr. Hemlock's head. You know, now he's going to end up acting like he's the most important Imperial in the whole, you know, the whole army pretty much at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but it was really good. It was nice to see that Omega was able to free Crosshair and they were able to get out and she's essentially, hopefully she's going to bring him home to the rest of their brothers.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. I love how, how Omega refused to give up on Crosshair, you know, how, you know, no matter what, you know, as many times as he admonished her for trying to help him and, you know, waiting for him and helping him escape, she was not going to leave him behind because mm-hmm. that's what she does for her family.
Exactly.
It's such a Star Wars thing to do. You know, the power of found family is such a consistent recurrent theme.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, the Bad Batch is very united in them being a family, but really Omega's kind of the glue that really holds them together and reminds them that they're all family and that importance.
Yeah, she really is. And she is the heart and soul of the Bad Batch, and everyone knows it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, it's been great to watch as the next few episodes unfolded, how she kind of brings the family back together.
Yep. And of course, you know, by the end of this episode, we have, you know, Omega and Crosshair are reunited with Batcher because she comes to save the day yet again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, yes, we love our Batcher.
Yes. And they successfully escape off world in a shuttle. And yeah, so that kind of leads us to the next episode, which is, you know, it's sorry, the episode title on that one is A Different Approach. Mm-hmm. So that's episode 4. And this kind of features two distinct storylines. You know, you've got Hunter and Wrecker, have their own storyline going on. And then you have everything going on still at Tantus. And then you have, you know, Omega and Crosshair, you know, all kind of have their own stories consistently going on.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on in this episode. And yeah, so Omega and Crosshair crash land, you know, because they can't. Well, yeah. So they end up crash landing because something happens to the hyperdrive, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, they end up on this planet of Lao and crash land. And they're trying to get the communication equipment working again. That's kind of what they're doing. And then we have back at Mount Tantus, we have Nala Se is imprisoned and Hemlock is questioning her. Of course, Hemlock knows how much he favors Omega and knows that, you know, that Nala Se was instrumental in, you know, helping them escape. But, you know, it doesn't. Nala Se still tries to do everything she can to shield them from finding that blood sample. Mm-hmm. Even going so far as to try to say that it was a false positive. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think that they fell for that, unfortunately.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. So what did you like about this episode?
I just like how, you know, it never really let up. You know, we were always constantly having something going on. And every time that we revisited all the three different stories going on, you know, it was kind of an action packed episode for, you know, despite everything that happened in the last one.
So part of this episode kind of reminded me a little bit of Solo when Omega and Crosshair were trying to bribe their way off the planet with that. The person at the desk, and they needed a certain amount of credits. It was kind of like that in Solo when, what was it, Han and Kira tried to actually bribe that Imperial worker, which helped get Han through, even though Kira didn't. But I thought that was a neat little kind of touch. I don't know if they did that on purpose or if it just kind of was a kind of a coincidence, but that was really cool. And I love how Omega showed her, again, she's got these unique skills somehow. Mm-hmm. She was able to play this card game with was it some sort of, I don't know if it was a pirate or whoever it was, and then that Imperial officer.
Yeah.
But I mean, so I thought that was a lot of fun. This episode, just like you said, just kept moving and moving and moving. There were no slow parts, no boring parts whatsoever. I do. I think that was a lot of fun. And I love that they were finally able to get off planet and that they were able to reunite with Hunter and Wrecker. Yeah. You know, how touching was that hug when Wrecker was in Omega, you know, Omega ran to him and Wrecker gave her the humongous hug.
Right, right. And then, of course, you know, they all see Crosshair and naturally their guards go up and, you know, Omega has to essentially, you know, let them know that it's okay, that he's, you know, he's helped her and that he's back, that Crosshair is back.
Yes. And he's starting to see the reality of what they've all been trying to tell him from the beginning.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, yep. Yeah.
So yeah, the next episode is kind of a reconciliation episode for Hunter and for Crosshair because, you know, they end up working together. This episode called The Return. So in The Return, the team regroups on the world of Pabu, which, you know, we've visited quite a bit last season of the Bad Batch. You know, it's that idyllic planet. You know, Hunter, Wrecker, Omega, and Crosshair all return. Echo comes, and, you know, we're reunited with Echo again for the first time in since the end of season 2. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they find that the
Reese's role as Echo in season 2 of The Bad Batch. Additionally, he will voice several other clones, including Hunter and Crosshair.
Well, I guess I've got to try to stop saying that word because that character is also the wake word for my Alexa device in this room.
I gotcha. Are you going to keep there? Never mind.
I have no idea what I'm going to do. We might keep this in. Heck.
Yeah. Heck, it was a little blooper. Why not?
So, So the clone who shall not be named from me.
We'll call him E. How about that?
So we'll call him E. Yes. Okay. That works. Although the clone who shall not be named is kind of funny, though, too.
Yours is better.
All right. So they all reunite on Pabu, and they end up going on a mission together to try to get back to, free the rest of the imprisoned clones that are remaining on Tantus. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So basically, this is kind of, now that the Bad Batch is reunited with as many members as are remaining, they are trying to get back to Mount Tantus to rescue more of their clone brethren. So what did you think of this one?
I like the bantering back and forth between Hunter and Crosshair, just talking about all the tension that they've had the last two seasons and then working together to try to solve a problem, trying to deal with this, another creature, creature episode. And trying to learn how that they can rebuild trust with each other. And I'm glad that they were able to do that at least tentatively by the end of this episode. I also love that we're starting to learn a little bit more about the whole plot with the clones and how the Bad Batch is starting to get more familiar with what's going on, so we can kind of see how the rest of the season is going to progress. Other than that, I thought it was an okay episode. It wasn't the most interesting. It kind of felt filler to me. I know you don't like that word.
Yeah.
It did feel a little bit like that. What did you think?
I thought it was okay. This is one of the episodes where I kind of found myself drifting in and out of watching it just because it wasn't that appealing. Again, just yet another giant creature, which this time in this episode, Wrecker kind of breaks the fourth wall a bit and... Yeah. Or is it breaking the fourth wall, or is it just more self-referential, noting the pattern that, it's yet another big creature, and they always seem to get stuck fighting some big old ugly.
Exactly. So I guess some people are starting to feel like you and I are feeling a little bit with some of these things.
Yeah. It's kind of a classic Star Wars story trope, but yeah, it's kind of been used quite a bit in the Bad Batch, especially, considering that this is only three seasons, it's a pretty heavy use.
Exactly. So, yes, it wasn't, there were some good parts about it. Again, going back to their relationship and starting to rebuild the family unit. But other than that, I just kind of thought it was a bore.
Yep. So I think we're just going to move on to the next episode, which actually is the next set of two episodes since they both release in the same day. So we've got Infiltration and Extraction. Ooh. And ultimately this episode is, getting the team back into Mount Tantus, right? Mm-hmm. We have all of the Batch together. They've all kind of sorted out their differences with Crosshair, and they've kind of fully welcome him back on the team. And, this is the episode where we get our reunion with another very famous clone for fans of the Clone Wars. And so we get the reunion with Rex, which is good to see the old guy, yet again, making his way into Star Wars animation. So what do you have? What do you think? What are your thoughts of this episode as a whole, Infiltration?
This one I actually thought was really good. It was nice to see the senator again from Raxus, how she's still trying to work on trying to earn clone rights and how that she's still considered a danger by the Empire. Obviously, there was this assassination attempt. And it gives us more and more information on these clones that are being basically retrained or reset to fight, I guess, covert missions for the Empire. So it's becoming more and more interesting what they're all about.
Yeah, they're kind of like the clone ninja. They're kind of like the ninja of the clone forces, right? Essentially. Exactly.
Yeah, or like the Navy SEALs or something like
that. Yeah, like SEAL team or yeah. That's maybe a little bit more accurate, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see if they were going to see a little bit more about how big that group of clones is, and if any of them are going to end up selling out the Empire. Maybe get beyond that reconstruction or reprogramming, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely got some, it's setting up, hopefully, we won't have that happen. We won't have a betrayal, but, I have a feeling that at some point, yeah, something's going to happen, and mm-hmm. the hammer's going to come down a lot closer towards to the Bad Batch than it has to this point.
Yes, absolutely. Now, one the base that they were at, in my research, it said it was on Teth. Was that a separatist place or no?
That is a very good question. So the planet Teth, I know that is something that, yeah, that was in the Clone Wars, and it was, I don't think it belonged to the Separatists. I want to say that it was, inhabited by Hutts, humans, and several other species.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it was on a trade route. So maybe that's how it got involved in the Clone Wars.
I gotcha. The only reason I'm asking is because when I first saw them walking in there, I thought it kind of looked like a separatist room, kind of like from Attack of the Clones. There was like that big circular pit. So I just wasn't sure. So I figured I'd ask the expert.
Oh, Teth. Teth is the planet where in the original Clone Wars movie, that's where Asajj Ventress brought Jabba's son.
Oh, okay. Okay,
That's how it's part of the Clone Wars. At least that's where it first appeared. I think there were other instances where Teth came up in the Clone Wars as well, but I can't think specifically.
I gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you for answering that. All right, let's see here. Trying to see if there was anything else about this episode. About infiltration, I think that's pretty much all I had to say about it. I guess that would lead into what, episode 7, Extraction, right?
Yep, Extraction is the final episode that we've seen so far. It's the 7th episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically what we have going on in this one, following a battle with the clone X trooper CX-2, Rex and the Bad Batch look to escape Teth. Meanwhile, Commander Wolf, now in service of the Empire, arrives with reinforcements. He quickly clashes with CX-2 over how to proceed. It all leads to a confrontation between Crosshair and CX-2, and a choice for Wolf, who must decide the fate of his old friends. So, yeah, so yet again, we see another clone that we are familiar with from the Clone Wars, and unfortunately, this time, he is not on the side that he once was, and the side that we hoped he would be on, so.
Right, absolutely. As obviously, though, I mean, Rex must have given them a pretty good speech at the end, because if I remember correctly, Wolf let them go.
Yes, he did.
And his troops were kind of like, sir, what are you doing here? What's going on? And Wolf just kind of said, let him go, and just kind of left it at that. So I'm sure there are going to be repercussions for that. They have to be, because obviously we see Wolf in Star Wars Rebels with Rex. Now, I thought for sure in one of these two episodes, they mentioned Gregor as well.
That's a very good question. And I know, so eventually by Rebels, it's Wolf, Gregor, and Rex are all together on the old Republic tank thing. Yeah. So they're traveling together. So yeah, I don't remember how Gregor comes up, but I wonder if we will get that reunion by the end of this or not. Yes.
Yeah. I thought I heard his name brought up a couple times, but we didn't see him. I
think, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if we get his debut, and you know, we finally see how this leads into Rebels.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I thought it was a really great episode. Just again shows how strong of a leader Rex is and how much of an influence that he still has over some of the other clones. That he's getting them to kind of think about what the Empire has been doing to them and what they've been doing to the galaxy, and getting them to kind of override their chips and kind of being like, look, you got to think for yourselves again here.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, it's a theme that has been present since the very first two episodes of The Bad Batch is, you know, the constant fight between soldiers following the orders and, mm-hmm. you know, breaking their conditioning. It's, you know, it's constantly coming back up as we approach the finish line of this series.
Yes, absolutely. So I have a just kind of a thought. Now, I don't know if this is maybe just in my mind or what. We've talked about how this season they're kind of doing setting out the episodes like three at a time, then one, then two, things like that. How important do you think the Bad Batch is to Disney?
That is a very good question. Give me just a second.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that. My throat was really dry.
Oh, it's okay. It happens. Yeah, the reason why I'm thinking about it is it kind of feels like they're just burning off the series. It's just kind of like there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare, a whole lot of anything about it. It's just kind of like, it's here. We have this final season. Let's just get through it as fast as we can.
I don't know if it's so much that, or it's, you know, I think they are trying to space out all the Star Wars content that we have coming this year. Mm-hmm. I think it's very purposeful. Okay. I think, you know, because whenever the Bad Batch wraps up on May 1st, that's, you know, of course, May the 4th, I think we're going to get something. I think we're going to get a trailer for The Acolyte, because that's the next series that we're getting. Is I think we're going to get a full trailer and a release window for The Acolyte, if not a specific release date. I think we'll get that on May 4th.
Okay, that puts it in a different perspective. I'm sure they weren't doing that. It just kind of made me wonder a little bit with the way they were kind of doing multiple episodes. Now, don't get me wrong, I love when they have more than one episode a week, because that's just extra fun, you know? But it was just a kind of a side thought, that's all.
Yeah, I think we're going to end up getting, well, we got Bad Batch to kind of kick off the spring. I think to kick off summer, we're going to get The Acolyte, and then I think right around Christmas time, maybe November, December is when we'll see Skeleton Crew, which is the last new project coming out this year.
Sounds good. I can't wait for a lot of these new projects. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm really looking forward to The Acolyte and Skeleton Crew, Jude Law, Pirates. I'm really psyched to see where that goes, and can't wait to see a trailer for that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's going to be a fun year, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how the Bad Batch ends.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I want to see where, you know, how close to Rebels we get. And, you know, I wonder if we'll even get the announcement of a new animated series at some point this year to debut next year.
Yeah, I mean, because it's very possible.
It's, you know, because it seems like ever since they brought back the Clone Wars for season 7, they've essentially used the Clone Wars season 7 as a soft, you know, a soft pilot for the Bad Batch. And then the Bad Batch, when it ends, I wonder if that's going to end up in, you know, being like a soft pilot for the next animated series.
Yes. No, that makes perfect sense. Absolutely. I mean, because you're right, it's got feelers in all these different areas of the Star Wars universe that we've seen future-wise. So, yeah, so it's gonna be leading into a bunch of different stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, this is the year for Star Wars. I think last year was the year for Star Trek, and not quite as much good Star Wars. So, yeah, it's kind of funny how 2023 was the year of Trek, and this is going to shape up to be more of Star Wars year.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Move the ship out of the asteroid field so that we can send a clear transmission.
Captain, incoming message.
Closer, I have you.
And heck, we haven't even talked about the movie news. Let's end with that. So remember Patty Jenkins was working on Rogue Squadron?
Yes.
So if you remember, you know, they released this teaser video of her rollerblading down a runway and eventually coming to rest in front of an X-wing.
Okay.
And to announce that her father was a fighter pilot in the Air Force or the Navy. I can't remember which one. And you know, she always wanted to do like a fighter pilot, you know, like a dogfight movie. So this is her chance to do that in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know, then whenever she took on Wonder Woman 3, she had to kind of put the pause on Rogue Squadron. And everybody thought that the movie was going to be canceled after that, because, you know, anytime they say that work on such and such Star Wars has stopped, you know, it's typically not good news, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know, we're not going to see Wonder Woman 3 because Warner Brothers has canceled that project and, you know, in favor of giving James Gunn the reins to DC to build a consistent universe. So Wonder Woman 3 no longer exists. And lo and behold, we get some word earlier this week, that you know, that right prior to the writer's strike starting, Kathy Kennedy had met with Patty Jenkins and to resume their discussion on Rogue Squadron, and they agreed to terms, And then the writer's strike started. So, you know, Patty Jenkins was not allowed to work on her script. She wasn't allowed to do anything script related with the movie while the strike was going on. So now I think she's finally getting ready to sit down and start her first draft or maybe second or third draft of the script. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So yet another Star Wars movie on top of the Mandalorian and Grogu and then the other three that were announced, so maybe we actually have a good chance of seeing five Star Wars movies over the course of the next decade.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, it's been a while since there's been a movie. I know after, what was it, after Rise of Skywalker, a lot of they were kind of pushing more toward the streaming end of it, which seemed to be really wildly successful there. You know, so it'll be nice to see it back on the big screen. You know,
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much where it belongs. So, you know, it's just, you know, Star Wars is made for the big, I think, the big screen. Just how
right,
you know, so
oh absolutely. I think Star Wars always belongs on the big screen. I just think that, you know, the Rise of Skywalker didn't go too well for some people, and yeah, it's, you know, and then Solo was kind of a mess.
Yeah,
good movie, but you know, it kind of bungled the launch on that one.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, so yeah, we've got a lot of good Star Wars movies to look forward to, hopefully, and yeah. Oh, did you see that Phantom Menace is coming back for the 25th anniversary to theaters?
Oh, yes. I cannot wait to go and see that. What I'm trying to see if I can get my Star Trek club for all of us to go as one of our monthly activities for May. I don't know if you know this or not, but May 4th, obviously, Star Wars Day. It's also Star Wars Night at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. So, yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. I'm wondering if, I don't know, if we'll try to make it or not. I don't know. We'll see if I can get a deal on Pirates tickets, because that would be fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's another. Last year, I organized the Stella Parada, all of us to go there. And so I'm doing that again this year. I actually have a meeting with somebody with the Pirates on Tuesday at 1 o'clock to,
oh, nice.
To get our group together again to go down, because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, do you think I could jump in potentially?
Sure. Why not?
Like, you know, if you get a good group rate, I might actually try to join you guys, if that's okay.
I'd love it. Absolutely. And then our ship's captain, she would love to meet you too. Guaranteed.
All right. I think we met briefly at Steel City Con.
Yes, but Maria. Yeah.
Yep. 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 Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. Yeah. Let me know if you get a good, you know, what group rate you get and where you're getting seats and, you know.
Exactly. Yep. I will let you know this week after the call.
All right. Sounds good. So I think that's all we're going to talk about. We kind of did this backwards and out of order with the news recap at the end, just because my brain didn't have it planned out.
And I've been trying to figure out like a lot of any Star Trek news. There really hasn't been a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the only thing really is the premiere of Discovery season 5. And, yeah, you know, that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. What, 3 weeks away? 4 weeks?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, 3-4 weeks, 3 weeks and 5 days, I think, actually.
Yes.
So it'll be here before you know it.
You got it.
All right, so that's going to do it for episode 34 of Captain's Logs and Lightsabers. We hope you enjoyed our discussion of the first 7 episodes of The Bad Batch. So until the next episode, which we're hoping will be sometime around April for the premiere of Discovery. Mm-hmm. Chris is going to check it out, even though he's a little behind, but I think we're going to get together and talk about how we think the first episode of season 5 went. And yeah, we'll go from there.
Sounds good. All right.
So yeah, until then, may the force be with you
and live long and prosper.
Hey, Captain's Logs and Lightsabers listeners, have you wanted to start your own podcast but were afraid it would be too difficult? With Zencastr, you don't have to worry. It's what we use each and every episode, and it couldn't be easier. Log in using your browser to start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video podcasts with your guests. You'll feel a sense of zen Knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Also, the days of multiple software programs are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Finally, you don't even have to worry about what you sound like when it comes to the post-production process. Zencastr makes you sound buttery smooth, automatically removing ums and ahs in your recording, removing the awkward pauses in conversations too. Set the right loudness and levels while reducing background noise with the click of a button. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code CLLPOD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experiences as we do for all of our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story.